We've been talking about relationships. We are on our, I think, fifth sermon now on relationships. We started out with our relationship with the Lord. And I have to say that every time that outside of a relationship with the Lord, the rest of your relationships are going to be very skewed. They're going to be very self-centered. It's going to be about you and your needs and everything else. And so we struggle with that enough. And so we need to have that relationship with the Lord. And he has to redeem us from a life of self to a life living for him. And then we can begin to give to others like God has called us to. And the next relationship was being a husband, being the husband we should. Our first husband failed at that. He allowed his wife to lead in this area where she was deceived. And she'd never been lied to. So cut her some slack, you know. I mean, this was a new world. And we talked about being a husband. And Pastor Jared talked about being the wife that God has called us to in the scripture. And then we talked about parents last week. And this is the responsibility of being a parent. And it's the hardest job in all the world. Amen? Wow. Because of what it's at stake, right? And I was reading a little Mark Twain statement on that. He said that when he was 14, his dad was so stupid he could hardly be in the same room with him. But by the time he was 21, he could not believe how much his dad had learned in 7 years. And so we talked about that whole parenting. Now we're going to talk about being children. Children, obey your parents. And here it is on Youth Day that we're going to talk about obeying our parents and having this relationship. Hey, when do we stop obeying and honoring our parents? When we die, not when they die. When we die. And then I suppose I will in heaven. I know to come across my daddy in heaven is going to be a glorious thing, my mama. I owe him so much. And how we honor them, even with our own kids, is very big. Let me read you one of the fairy tales of one of Grimm's fairy tales. Once there was a little old man. His eyes blinked and his hands trembled. When he ate, he clattered the silverware distressingly, missing his mouth with the spoon as often as not, and dribbling a bit on his food on the tablecloth. Now he lived with his married son, having nowhere else to live, and his son's wife did not like the arrangement. I can't have this, she said. It interferes with my right to happiness. So she and her husband took the old man gently but firmly by the arm and led him to the corner of the kitchen. There they sat him on a stool and gave him his food in an earthenware bowl. From then on, he always ate in the corner, blinking at the table with wistful eyes. One day his hands trembled rather more than usual, and the earthenware bowl fell and broke. If you are a pig, said the daughter-in-law, you must eat out of a trough. So they made him a little wooden trough, and he got his meals in that. These people had a four-year-old son, on whom they were very fond. One evening, the young man noticed his boy playing intently with some bits of wood and asked what he was doing. I'm making a trough, he said, smiling up for approval, to feed you and Mama out of when you get big. The man and his wife looked at each other for a while and didn't say anything. Then they cried a little. Then they went to the corner and took the old man by the arm and led him back to the table. They sat him in the comfortable chair and gave him his food on a plate. And from then on, nobody ever scolded when he clattered or spilled or broke things. Perspective. How you are treating your parents is how your kids are going to treat you. Honoring our parents is a lifetime ordeal. And I suppose when I'm old and feeble and trembling at Joel's table, and I look into the mirror, I hope my mom and daddy are proud of me, for I want to honor them the rest of my life. And so as we read these scriptures, it's not for a bunch of little kids around here. It's for all of us. Can you receive this out of the Word of God? Do you know that this is going to be true in your life? Do you know what we're about to read is from the Holy Spirit, breathed through men, moved by the Holy Spirit? And so let's receive it and accept it. And maybe we need to even change some things in our life even today. Would you stand with me as we read God's Word? Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verses 1 through 3. And Ephesians is a wonderful book. It starts out the first three chapters in theology, and the last three chapters are about what we're going to do about our theology, acting it out. And we get here to family relations. That's what the top of my text says here. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. That's the reading of God's Word. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for this. We need this. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to fall under the authority of our parents, to honor and love them. And Lord, I thank you for my mom and dad. I thank you for them making me honor them and insisting on it. They saved my very life. And so, Lord, I praise you for that. I pray you bless them today, wherever they may be. I imagine they're in church. But, Lord, I pray you thank you and praise you for them. May we all have a heart for our parents. And not all of our parents, Lord, are what they ought to be. But you didn't say that. You said honor them. And so, Lord, we thank you for the parents you sovereignly gave them to us. Lord, we didn't choose them. And by the way, they didn't choose us either. And so, Lord, we're in it together. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to have your grace to make it through this world. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Isn't that amazing? The Lord shared that with me here. You didn't choose your parents. But by the way, your parents didn't choose you either. I heard one preacher say this week that the reason you want to honor your mother and father is because without them, you wouldn't be here, literally. Joel was supposed to be part me and part Hope. And if we wouldn't have gotten together, you would never been. Would never been. You never would have been. The Lord had that planned out a long time ago. So there's no accidents in here. There's no oopsies in here. John Mark was our closest. But that was a shocker. And weren't planning that one, and we're glad he's here. He did a good job teaching Sunday school, son. Thank you. And all my kids are different, and we insist on them. I told this earlier in our sermon this morning, but all my kids were disciplined differently because they're different. Joel, you had to just talk to and catch him in a corner. It was a big interrogation because he wanted to argue about it on, you know. And I had to work it out, so I had to be intellectual, and then spank him. Jeremiah was just a run around the room. He hated spanking. So that's what you give him. John Mark, if I said, let's get a spanking, he'd just do this. Make me so mad. So you did what he didn't want to do. You go in your room. Ooh. That was purgatory when you're jumping around all your life. You know, Annie was just a stern look. You've disappointed me. Still that way today. And then there's Hope. She spiked to everybody. She's from Texas, so she just puts a belt on everybody. She'll whip your kids if you let them. That's the truth there, baby. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a restaurant or something, some kid's mouthing off, and she goes, boy, I wish I was his mother for 5 minutes. I said, we would be in jail. And so, isn't it fun being a kid? Sometimes. It says here, children. In the Greek, it's techna. That's the actual word for it. And it means really anybody under authority, actually offspring, born under your house, in the strictest form, the word, we're all children. We all got, you know, statistics say you have a parent. Now, and it means to fall under. Under the roof is actually some of the Greek control of or domination. Now, the present law is 18 years old. And the Bible says there's no age, however. But 18 in the U.S., you know, I don't know how many runaway reports I've taken in my life. I mean hundreds. And I've caught up many of them. And I said, how old are you? 16. I said, just wait 2 years. You can run away all you want. And then you don't have to bother me chasing you down. But right now, you live under your parents' rule. And what they say goes. It's called a status offense. You know, truancy. You know, you got to be in at a certain time. All that kind of stuff. Those are status offenses. When you get a little older, you can. You can do all that you want. You can run away. And we're not going to go look for you. But in the Bible, it says you can't run away ever. That you're to honor your mother and father the rest of your life. But even though you leave the house, it's clear that you must honor your father and mother all your life. It says, notice, not all their life, but all your life. I would like to know that. As I've said before, and I'm looking in the mirror as an old man, I would like to know if my mom and dad were proud of me. Don't you feel that? That your mom and dad would be. Another one is obey. Hupaku. It's the Greek word for hup, means under. Aku means to listen, to hear, to fall under and listen to. The scripture, boy, we could spend a lot of time just on all the scripture that we could talk about. Listen to some of these. When you think about hearing. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. My son, if thou wilt receive my word, and hide my commandments with thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thy ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge, and on and on. And we're commanded to listen to our parents. Literally, listen. Fall under their authority. Now, there's a promise here of obedience. There's a few promises in the Bible that are attached to commandments, and you really need to know these. And this is a challenge. This is a wonderful challenge. Because God's given you an overall, as a community, a promise that if you obey your parents and you honor and love them, that he's going to give you quality of life and quantity of life. And let me tell you, all of us and all of our families have somebody in our family, maybe a sibling, that didn't obey their mother and didn't obey their father. What's the quality of their life right now? This is real stuff. Is this real? Can you not put faces to this and names? Maybe you're one of them? Yeah. That we have this quality and quantity. Hey, there's other promises. Hey, what's he say? Hey, test the Lord with your tithes and offerings. See if you'll not receive a gift from God, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. I dare you. That's right. That's a promise from God. And so living under their roof, eating their food, using their money, you're willing to fall under their direct authority and listen to them by obeying their commands. I can't tell you how blessed you'll be, young children. Don't tell me, well, you don't understand who my mom is or my dad. It doesn't say that. And I'm not telling you to go out and if they're involved in some illegal thing to do it. No, if you're a Christian child, you obey your parents, you honor them. They want the best for you. In most cases. Now, I'm a policeman. I'm not naive. I've been 20 years on the police department. I've seen some doozy parents. I get it. But how many? How many of them probably do have your best interest? And though they're not perfect, you know, one of the reasons you as a child need to honor your parents is because your parents are flawed. And one day you'll be a flawed parent. Just like them. And that they're doing their best. And help them out. I have seen several children lead their mom and dad to the Lord. It just devastated them. And they came to church and went, what's going on with my kid? And you got to share the gospel with them. In fact, there might be some of you here today that says, I wouldn't have went to church until that preacher came over and took my church, my kids to church, and they came back different. And it touched my heart. So remember that. And so we fall under this umbrella of authority. And it's not because God doesn't want you to have any fun. He wants you to have a quality life with some quantity in it. And we fall under this umbrella. But if we step out from under that umbrella, we already know what's going to happen. You will do evil and harm will come to you. This is the laws of nature. And you'll do things you're not supposed to do. I have, time would fail me on all the stories I have in my life of people stepping out from under the authority. So, well, why would God concentrate on the parent-child relationship directly in the Ten Commandments? Because this is a really eye-opener, maybe for me even this week, because I've read the Ten Commandments a lot. And it starts out with the first four, and it's all about our relationship this way with God. And then he shifts on the fifth commandment. And what relationship does he shift to? Thou shalt not commit adultery? No. No, it doesn't. The step over, the transition from this to this is children. Obey your parents. Why? Why that? Why wasn't it marriage? Why wasn't it, because this is it. If you won't obey your parents, you won't obey anybody. And this is the beginning of our society here. If we can't get our kids to obey, and if they won't willingly do this, our society begins to crumble. Because if you don't obey your parents, you're definitely not obeying God. And if you're not going to fall under the authority of your parents, well, you're not going to fall under God's authority. And then it'll go on to, you won't obey your teachers. We have a teacher in our church, 3 weeks ago, got punched in the face by a young lady. I mean, they'd have killed us for that in our school when I was a kid. I don't know what happened to me. I can't imagine. They won't obey their teachers. Their boss can't keep a job. They won't obey their manager, their spouse, the church, the police. I'll never forget pulling a 19-year-old kid over. I watched him rear-end another vehicle. It was an undercover police officer in the other vehicle. He thought he could just bump it. 19 years old, I get out, and I said, you're going to get a ticket here. And he started getting smart with me. I said, hey, man, I don't have to give you a ticket. I can take you to jail. He says, no, you can't. And he just punched me right in the mouth. 19 years old. Now, it didn't go well for him. But, I found out the problem. They took him to jail. And I had a couple other things to do. And when I got back to the station, he was already out of jail with his daddy to complain on me at the front desk. Now we know the problem, right? He didn't have to obey his daddy. Now he thinks he doesn't have to obey anybody. That's not how it rolled in Mark Morton's house, Bill Morton's house. Everybody got to spank Mark. Aunts, cousins, the neighbor. Me and Marvin went to school. He brought us in to Dutton Elementary School. Says, this is Marvin, this is Mark. You are allowed to spank them anytime. And please tell me so they can get another one when they come home. True story. Happened. I was there. What did that do for me? I didn't go smart off to my neighbor. I didn't get lippy with the coach. From this high on, I couldn't imagine taking on the deacon of the church or telling the preacher off. You know why? Because God would be angry with me, and he could take my life for such things. And my mom and dad knew it. And so we see this. Now, we have many illustrations of disobeying our parents and the result of it. It says, so you have quality, but also quantity. We've talked a little bit about quality, but how about quantity of life? Length. I'll not forget it all of my life. Fourth and Lake, the Americana Inn, it's not there anymore. They knocked it down, put a bus station. But it was boarded all up. Big chain link fence around it. No one's supposed to be in there, but there was all sorts of people in there living, homeless. Room started on fire, so the fire department went there. And I pulled up there. They called me. And up in the rooms, they directed me up there. I walked in, and there was a body laying there, hands tied behind her back. She was set on fire. It'll rock your world to see somebody like that. We find out later that it's a 17-year-old girl from Susanville who decided that she didn't want to be under her parents' rule. So she went to Reno, and she lived on the streets of Reno. And this 26-year-old man saw that she had nobody and took advantage of her. And then he set her on fire. We talked to her parents. Parents went, well, she wanted to do her own thing, and I couldn't keep her. They'd put her, have to handcuff her to the house, but finally she ran off and did a runaway report. But at 17, just so you know, the police don't get real excited. We caught the man a week later. In fact, we got in a big pursuit. He's in Ely, maximum security prison the rest of his life. But we lost a 17-year-old that had a little baby in her. Hey, your rebellion is costly. And that's a very, very bad story. But there's another 300,000 that didn't get that bad, but they're still really bad. I remember stopping a young lady. She's 20 years, big Reno name, lots of money, family. Had a warrant. She looked terrible. I said, what's going on here? Can I just talk to you, little sister? What's going on? You're 20 years old and you didn't graduate from high school. I know your family. She goes, this officer, I can tell you this. I can tell you the day it happened. I went, tell me, I'm ready. Cheerleader, going to a prestigious school in Reno. Straight A's, 4.0, 15 years old, sophomore in high school. Asked to a party. Parents said, don't go. You're not going to that party. That's a big N-O. She snuck out anyway. Went to a party. She knew what was going on there. She knew she wasn't supposed to be there. And you know, this fella, good-looking kid, she liked him, handed her a little bindle, a little piece of paper rolled it. They don't have them anymore. Now we just pop pills. But little bindle, she opened it up, had a little powder substance off color. It was a crank. That was her first time, and she never stopped. And here she was on a traffic stop. I was arresting her on a warrant and all that. She could take me back to the day of her disobedience. Maybe you're there today. Maybe you're here today. You remember the day when you turned away from home and you went and did your own thing. And hopefully you've come back, but maybe you haven't. I have good news for you today, that there's a chance you can come back today. You know, maybe you're that prodigal child. You got to turn back. I've seen 60-year-old men do it, maybe even older, or 16-year-old men do it. Hey, let me give you just three things, and I got to run here. Three reasons why parents must insist that their children obey. And the first one we see here is children need to obey their parents because nature demands it. It's in our DNA, nature, how God designed us. That we're first a child of God, so we have to obey Him. So certainly we have to obey God. It's our nature. It says it right here in verse 1. In the Lord, for this is right. This is common rightness. It's what's expected of you. And this has been understood through all generations. But it seems like today in our society, don't you feel the pressure of people trying to... This new world people that say you don't have to obey your parents, this is psychotic. It's, you know, during Nazism, Hitler convinced many of the youth not to obey their parents. To do that. In fact, when we read the scriptures and it starts talking about the end times, 2 Timothy, Paul writes in here, 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. All listed in there is all those evil things, including disobedient to parents. This is why, because nature demands it. One of these truths is that children are to obey their parents. Every people of every time have known this and insist upon it, even though today it seems that many people are actively suppressing this knowledge. Not only that, children need to obey their parents because the law demands it. Not only nature, but the law of nature. The law demands. We have the Ten Commandments. They're not suggestions. Well, Pastor Thompson used to call them the Ten Indictments. That's what God doesn't like about you and me. Is these things. You put other things before Him. You don't honor the day of the Lord. You covet things. You disobey your parents. You commit adultery in your heart, if not with your hands. They're indictments, but here we see that the law demands that children are also to obey because it's a particular requirement of God's law, the Ten Commandments, and this law that even has a greater promise attached to it, honor your father and mother. This is a little different than obeying. What is the difference of obeying and honoring? You know, I obeyed my parents, but not always in an honoring way. Go clean your room. I was doing it. Out of fear, you know, and by the way, I didn't get to stomp around like that. I'd be doing something else if I did. But I've done this, yes, Mom and Dad. Yeah. And went and did it. But that wasn't honoring them. Honoring them is doing it and saying, the Lord wants me to do this and I'm going to do it. Because I want to honor them. Dad, don't be worried about what your kid's telling you. Be worried about what he's telling his friends about you. What does your kids tell their friends about you today? Can they honor you? Are they honoring you? You should. And kids, if you got some dirt on your parents, no one should know about it. They're flawed, and you're going to be flawed one day. You honor your parents. And so we see here that the law demands that we honor and we obey them. And so we have nature, we have the law, and thirdly, children need to obey their parents because the gospel demands it. Best of all, children are to obey their parents in the Lord, in what Jesus has done for us. Man, the least thing you could do is obey your parents for how much Jesus obeyed his Father and died on the cross. Don't you remember the conversation in the Garden of Gethsemane? Oh, Lord, if this can pass, but not my will, your will. Wow, what a great son thing to say. What a great child thing to say. Lord, Father, whatever, but it's your will, not mine. I'll follow you. I'll obey you. The gospel assures our children that they can joyfully obey their parents, and the gospel gives them motivation to actually do it. This is why one of the very first evidences of a child's conversion is obedience to their mom and dad. Let me tell you, you want me to know whenever someone comes to faith in Christ, they obey their mom and dad at whatever age they are. That's when you know. John Stott says, Christian children learn to obey with gladness, for this pleases the Lord. You want to please the Lord? Obey your parents. You want the Lord to say, well, I know he struggles with this and this, but you know what? He obeys the Lord, obeys the parents, and he honors them. Let me tell you something. That pleases the Lord. We find that in Colossians. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Where are you at on this? Where are you at on honoring and obeying your parents? and your husband's parents or your wife's parents. Let me tell you, when I go see my mother-in-law, she's my mom. I honor her. She's my parent. She raised a great lady. I owe them so much. I've told my father-in-law that much. Thank you for raising her. She's a wonderful lady. She's raising me now. In fact, when I asked for her hand, by the way, Michael, I was nervous. That was more nervous than marrying her. Going into the living room of C.O. Jackson, I said, "Can I have your daughter's hand? I love her. I'll love her for the rest of my life." You know, he didn't tell me, "Well, son, you know, this, or you stick with the Lord." You know what he said? "You're getting a fine lady." He just talked hope up. I love that about him. He loved her, and she loved him. This is how it's supposed to be. This is what makes great relationships. Can you say this? You can. You can do this. God gives you the gifts to do it. He gives the command. If he gives the command, he'll give you the ability to do it, because some of you have challenging parents. You're not as blessed as I am. But some of you have challenging parents. And so it says you need to obey your parents. I had to obey mine. And we lived in a little town of Dutton, Montana, and we're the only evangelical Christians there. Literally. And so we were considered that loving Christian home. And what that meant was strict, because we didn't get to go do all these things. And I would say to my mom and dad, "But my friends get to." And they say, "Well, you're not your friend's mom and dad." And we even had people come over. I convinced my friend's parents to come over and talk my parents into it. Don't do that. That gets ugly. Because the parents go, they get the gospel. My dad would tell them about Jesus. It was a really short conversation. I used to do that. And I learned now that when I look back to all my friends that got to do whatever they wanted, they hadn't done so well. That my mom and dad saved my life. They saved my life. Now let me ask you, let me close here. Let me also tell you, grown-up children here today, if you've treated your parents like this in the past and you've reaped the life of rebellion, there's no better time to ask God to forgive you as right now. Right now. I mean, have you ever just practiced a, you know, when's the last time you just thought back about how you treated your parents? Have you just gone to your knees and just said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry what I said. I'm sorry what I did." Maybe you were lost at the time. I don't know. The Bible in Exodus, when they came out with the law in Deuteronomy in that Exodus time, if you struck your child, you were stoned to death. I mean, if you struck your parents. If you punched your dad, I can't imagine that, but if you punched your dad, you were stoned to death. If you cursed them, cussed them out in front of people, you got stoned. Because this is how serious the Lord looked at it. And when we think back on some of the engagements maybe we've had with our parents, we're in deadly territory. We're on ground that God could take our life. And you need to repent of it. You need to come. He'll forgive you. There's nothing you've done that God can't forgive you for. But you're going to have to ask for it. And you're going to have to get serious. And I tell you what, we had a revival in our church in Missoula, Montana, Emmanuel Baptist. Life Action Ministries came in. I was 19 years old. It moved me. I wept, but I never came to faith in Christ. But I wept. And most of our family was there. My sister Maggie, I was living with her. She owns a ranch with her husband in Missoula, Montana. And I'll never forget the day we come home from this revival. I mean, it was rich. It was good. It was like this Galkin one we had. And I watched my sister, who had some areas of rebellion in her life, go into the kitchen phone and dial my dad and get on the phone. And just when he said hello, Daddy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for the rebellion. I'm sorry for the lying. I'm sorry for the cheating. I'm so sorry, Dad. Would you forgive me? And there was a good crying time. And a relationship that was mended beyond belief. For my dad had already forgiven her many years before. She was grown with children. This was healing. This is what God is pleased with. Do you want to please God today? Do you? Amen? Amen? If this is in your life, I challenge you, call your parents today. Because there's so many of us today that wish we could. You can't figure this out in front of a casket. You got to do it now. Because some of you wish you could. And I beg you, go to Jesus. He'll do it. I'll tell you a little secret I do every once in a while. I was at the grave of Pastor Thompson, Miss Janice. Friday, I was out there with Ed. And I just said, Lord, would you tell Pastor Thompson hi for me? I know where he's at. Would you tell me, Ma? I miss her. Sometimes more than Miss Pastor Thompson. God is that big. He's that good. Would you bow your head? We're going to have an invitation here in a moment. This is a pretty heavy subject. But it's nothing that Jesus can't handle. If you're here today, I want to ask you, do you even have a relationship with Jesus? Before you go get fixing things with your parents, why don't you fix things with Jesus? If you were to die today, I asked four people that this week. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? They had no idea. Three of them. If you were to die today, do you know where you're going today? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? It's a saving faith. That Jesus has been made real to you, that you know he died on the cross for your sins and that he paid the price and you have come to him and repented and have life in you. If that's you, that's great. But if it's not you and you say, I don't know the Lord, with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? That's me. I don't know Jesus. And I need this. I'll pray for you. Is there anyone here? Yes, I'll pray for you. I already have. Anybody else? Second question. Hey, is your heart burning within you? Do you need to get something right today with your mom and dad? Whether they're here or not, whether they're on this earth or not. Do you need to get right? Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? That's me. Would you raise your hand? I'll pray. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Yes, I challenge you. If they're alive, call them. Apologize. And they might, you know, maybe they're not Christians and they might chuckle, but it'll cut to their heart. And you'll be pleasing to the Lord. Whatever decision you might have to make today, if the Lord's calling you out, you say, I need to get saved. Come on up here. I'll just pray with you. If you say, you know what, I think I need to follow the Lord in baptism. Well, come on up. If you want to join this church, whatever the decision is that you need to make, maybe you just praise the Lord for what God has done in your life. You can do that.